The Old Testament reading for our celebration of the resurrection of our Lord comes from the book of Job, the 19th chapter. Oh, that my words were written! Oh, that they were inscribed in a book! Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever! For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
The epistle reading comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 15th chapter. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is early morning, and Mary Magdalene has come to Jesus' tomb. She's come there in sorrow and weeping, hoping to finish the sad task preparing her friend's body for the grave, since she didn't have time to do it well on Friday. It's been a week of turmoil and terror, of sorrow and shame. And this act of respect and reverence is something that will hopefully bring to an end all of the horrible events of this week. But upon reaching the tomb, things are not as she was expecting. The tomb is open, and it is empty. And after running to get Peter and John, after speaking even with two angels in the tomb, Jesus himself comes and speaks to her. But Mary is so intent on finding a corpse, so focused on her own assumptions, that she doesn't even recognize Jesus at first. He asks her a question that seems so obvious, so simple, so foolish even. He says, "Whom are you seeking?" The question would feel even insulting. "I'm at the tomb of Jesus of Nazareth. Who do you think I'm looking for, Waldo?" Of course I'm looking for Jesus. But the Jesus she was looking for was a dead Jesus, a defeated Jesus. And she would not find him, no matter how hard she searched, because Christ had risen from the grave, just as he said. And that's why we're here this morning, isn't it? That's why we got up early, put on our church clothes, and came for the sunrise service. We are here to celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We are here to rejoice that he is risen, just as he said. We're here to sing songs of praise and joy, knowing that Jesus is indeed alive again. But let me ask you the same question that Jesus asked Mary. Whom are you seeking? It might well seem even more obvious, more foolish of a question than when Jesus asked Mary on that first Easter morning, but the answer might not be quite as simple as you think. You might say, "Well, Jesus, obviously." But are you, like Mary, looking for a Jesus that just doesn't exist? Because there are many, many different ideas about who Jesus is, and many different Jesuses that people seek. There is the life coach who teaches you how to be a better person, how to lose weight, and how to make money. The Jesus who gives you a list of rules to follow, things to check off to make your earthly life better, maybe even the best life now. The life coach that focuses on worldly things and focuses on making you feel better, feel more comfortable, feel good about yourself. There's also the life-affirming Jesus, who tells you that whatever you are doing is wonderful, great, and holy and sanctified in the eyes of the Lord. That whatever you might feel in your heart, whatever sin you might seek to engage in, that is good and right for you. And anything that the Bible says that contradicts your life, well, that was clearly for those people long ago. And it doesn't apply to you because you, my friend, are the best person you could possibly be. There's the problem-solving Jesus that you go to when things are bad, when you're down on your luck, when somebody is sick, when things seem like they just couldn't possibly get any worse. And so you go to Jesus, but you don't really need him the rest of the time. Once you're out of the scrape, once things have kind of gotten back to normal, then your life goes back to normal too. And Jesus, he can go back into the closet or your pocket or wherever he might reside until the next catastrophe strikes. There's the genie who grants you wishes, gives you toys and treasures, the one that you pray to and he gives you all your heart's desires. And if he doesn't, well then either he's not listening or you're not doing it right. These and so many other false versions of Jesus are out there and available. There are people who will tell you exactly what you want to hear. You can pick and choose all the custom traits of Jesus that you want. If you're not happy with this particular church, well then find another one or turn on the TV or radio, or better yet, just invent your own. Start your own podcast and proclaim to the world who your Jesus is. And make no mistake, every one of us falls into the trap of wanting to turn Jesus into something he's not. Every one of us wants Jesus to tell us what we want to hear. Every one of us wants Jesus to say, you are the best person ever, and you're way better than anybody else out there, and you're doing it right, and nobody else is doing it nearly as well as you. But when we do that, when we try to change Jesus, when we make him a mirror image of ourselves, we rob ourselves of the true treasure of who Jesus is and what he's actually done. And we do so to our great peril, because faith in a fake version of Jesus is no saving faith at all. Jesus and Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Not your Jesus, not my Jesus, not some Jesus, but Jesus. As he has revealed himself in the scripture, as he truly is, was, and ever shall be. And so if you have come here today seeking the Jesus who never says anything offensive and just gives you exactly what you want, well, I am very happy to disappoint you, because that Jesus is not here. Never has been, never will be. Because here, today, we rejoice in the victory of the real Jesus. And that victory, that Jesus, is far greater than anything that man could ever possibly come up with. Jesus Christ is not just somebody who helps you out in this world. He's not just a shoulder to cry on. He's not just the person that you run to when you're at the end of your rope. Jesus Christ is your risen Savior. He's not an invention of man who does exactly what we want, because what we want is by nature evil and wicked and wrong and sinful. We are sinners, and what we want is against what God wants. And so his holy word, his truth, his righteousness, it will conflict with our lives, and it's going to make us feel bad. It's going to break us at times. It is going to knock us to our knees. It is going to make us feel terrible inside, as it should. Because it does so, so that we can learn, so that we can grow, so that we can prosper in the midst of a world that only wants to see us fail and die and rot. God's word contradicts our sinful lives to make us better, to show us the right way, to keep us on the right path. His word comes into our lives and knocks away our sinful props, the false faith that we might have, and says, these lead only to death. Get rid of them. You don't need that garbage. And it does so for our benefit. But the best part is, his word is not just the law that comes into our lives swinging like a sledgehammer. His word doesn't just tell us what to do and not to do. Doesn't just show us our sin and our desperate need for a Savior. His word is also that blessed gospel that shows us that Savior, that delivers Jesus into our sinful, wretched, pathetic lives. It shows us that despite our sin, Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, God himself in our flesh, has indeed come to us. God the Son, fully God, humbled himself to be born of the Virgin Mary, set aside many of his powers, and said, I will come to you because you cannot come to me. He walked this earth surrounded by sin, surrounded by the evil and wickedness that he abhors, facing the same temptations and heartaches and frustrations and sorrows that we ourselves face each and every day. He didn't sit back from afar and say, well, this should be pretty easy for them. But he came into the muck and the mire with us to be our Savior. He allowed himself to be betrayed by a dear companion, abandoned by his closest friends, arrested, mocked, and beaten by the very people that he came to save. He willingly carried his cross and allowed himself to be brutally nailed to it, lifted up for the whole world to mock. And even though he is eternal and need never have tasted the pains of death, he gave himself over to the agonizing death of crucifixion, shedding his blood on our behalf. But even death, That relentless enemy could not hold him. And on that first Easter morning, Jesus Christ burst from the grave, shattering the chains of death forever. That's why we are here this morning. This is no fairy tale. This is no legend. This is no fanciful hope and imagination. But this is the glorious, historical, affirmable truth of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again to conquer sin and death. And not just for himself, not just to prove that he is indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but by grace, through faith, we are given his Easter victory as well. Our first two readings this morning, you may have recognized, and you may have thought to yourself, aren't these funeral readings? Don't I hear these very often at funerals? Yes. And you may have thought to yourself, funeral readings on Easter, that's kind of a bummer, isn't it? But it's not. Because death is no longer the eternal enemy. Death has been swallowed up in victory. As Christians, we can look death in the eye and we can laugh. We can say, because Jesus has destroyed death. Jesus has swallowed it up in victory, and he has given each of us that victory as well. That when we look to his cross and empty tomb in faith, we know death cannot harm us. And just as Mary did not find Jesus dead in the tomb, you won't either. He is risen, just as he said. Risen again to eternal life, risen and ascended to the Father, to be seated at the right hand of God, ruling over all things in his infinite wisdom. But he is also here with us. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, Jesus himself has promised that he is there, blessing us, guiding us, forgiving us, speaking to us by his unchangeable, infallible word. He is here in the bread and wine, where he gives us his true body and blood, the same body and blood that was nailed to the cross, the same body and blood that rose again from the grave, is delivered to you here today by our Lord Jesus Christ, just as he said. He is with us always, even to the ends of the age. The world around us is going to get worse and worse and worse, and we in our sin and doubt might think God has abandoned us. But he never will. Here, within these walls, Jesus comes to us each and every week. In our Sunday services, in Sunday school, in catechism class, in Bible studies, in so many ways. Even in our Christian fellowship, as we reassure one another of the love of Jesus Christ, he is here with us always. But he is not contained within these walls either. At your homes, in daily prayer and devotions, as you read the Bible and hear his word, as you share that word with friends and family and enemies and strangers, there Jesus is with you, just as he promised. Jesus is risen, and he has given us the victory. Jesus, the real Jesus, the one true Jesus, has conquered sin, death, and devil for you. And he is with you always. This Easter, you rose early, very early, to gather this holy house. And it might have seemed obvious as to you why you might do such a thing. But honestly answer the question, whom are you seeking? If it is some worldly version of Jesus that tells you all is well or is just there to satisfy your greedy desires, you will not find him here. You will not find him anywhere. And for that, you can give everlasting thanks. Because those false Jesuses, they are useless props at best and satanic lies at worst. Here, though, in the truth of God's word, you will find someone far, far better than you could ever imagine or invent. Here you will find the true Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who takes away your sin. Personally, individually, loving you, rescuing you, redeeming you. You will find one whose word will offend your sinful life, but he does it out of love and concern to spare you from the pains of sin. More than that, you will find the Messiah, the promised Savior who died for you to take away your sins and rose again to give you the gift of everlasting life. Jesus, the real Jesus. He's not just a guy who gives you some toys and treasures in this world. He is your Savior, the one who has rescued you from sin, death, and the devil. He is the one who has snatched you from the fires of hell and has washed away every one of your sins. He is the one who has claimed you in the waters of baptism and will not give up on you. He is the one who is with you always, guiding you, guarding you, forgiving you. He is the one who comes to you in His true flesh and blood at this altar, who speaks His word of forgiveness into your undeserving and sinful life, not just on special occasions like today, but always. He will never leave you or forsake you, just as He promised. And because of His atoning sacrifice on your behalf, because of His glorious resurrection, you will be with Him always. Christ has been raised from the dead, and we shall be too. Death is no longer our eternal enemy. For when we lie down in the sleep of death, we will wake again to new life, eternal life, perfect and holy life in that sinless paradise of heaven that Jesus has won for us, that Jesus has prepared for us, and that Jesus will come again to take us to, that we can be with Him forever. This is the Jesus Christ that we seek, and that graciously comes to us always in His word and sacraments, delivering to us His glorious message of forgiveness, life, and salvation. That by the cross of Jesus Christ alone, by His empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.